listening to the Positive Professional Podcast with your host, me, Tracy Yvonne. This podcast is a weekly conversation about all things mental health, self-care, and wellness. And there'll be sprinkles of positivity, mindfulness, and guided meditations. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 10. Today I'm delving into a journey through grief, understanding its stages and discovering how mindfulness can be a beacon of light in times of darkness. Grief is a universal experience. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, a significant life change, or letting go of part of ourselves, it can reshape our world. This episode, we're going to explore this process and how mindfulness strategies can support us through it. So defining grief. Right? Grief is more than just emotional pain. It's a complex process that affects us physically, mentally, and spiritually. Grief indeed transcends mere emotional pain, embedding itself deeply into the physical, mental, and spiritual aspects of our being. This multifaceted impact reflects the profound and comprehensive influence that loss has on an individual. Understanding these dimensions can help in acknowledging the depths of grief's reach and the importance of holistic approaches to healing. Now, grief can manifest in various physical symptoms and changes, and underscoring the body's reaction to the stress and pain of loss. Common physical manifestations of grief include sleep disturbances, difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep or experiencing a restful sleep, changes in appetite, loss of appetite or increased eating as a form of comfort, physical fatigue. Despite adequate rest, feeling physically drained and low in energy can be a hallmark of grief. Somatic symptoms. Experiencing physical pain such as headaches, stomachs, or muscle tension without a clear medical cause. Weakened immune system. That could be increased chances to illness and infections due to stress and grief. The mental or cognitive effects of grief are significant, reflecting how deeply our thoughts and perceptions can be influenced by loss. There's impaired cognition, and it's difficulty focusing on tasks or making decisions, often feeling scattered or mentally foggy. Memory issues, such as forgetting things more readily or having trouble recalling memories, particularly those associated with the loved one. Preoccupation with the loss, and that's persistent thoughts about the deceased or the circumstances of the loss, which can dominate a mental space. Dreams and nightmares. Experiencing vivid dreams or nightmares about the loved one or the loss. And while grief is inherently emotional, the range and intensity of emotions experienced can be broader and more complex than anticipated. There can be profound sorrow and longing for the deceased are central to grief. Feelings of anger towards the situation, oneself, the deceased, or even higher powers. Ruminating on what could have been done differently or feeling guilty about the aspects of the relationship or the loss. In some cases, especially after a prolonged illness, feelings of relief that the loved one is no longer suffering, which can lead to guilt. Feeling emotionally numb or detached from others in everyday life. And grief can also profoundly affect one's spiritual beliefs and practices, challenging or reinforcing faith and perspectives on life and death. This can look like re-evaluated personal beliefs about life, purpose, and the afterlife. And this can lead to a crisis of faith for some. Attempting to find meaning or purpose in the loss, which can be a pivotal part of the healing process. For some, grief leads to a deepening of spiritual beliefs or newfound spirituality as a source of comfort and understanding. There's also feeling a continued bond or a sense of communication with the loved one, which can be comforting and spiritually significant. So in the next segment, I'm going to talk about some common myths about grief and get into how mindfulness can be helpful. Get into the stages of grief. The first is denial. And in this stage, individuals believe that the diagnosis or loss is somehow mistaken and cling to a false, preferable reality. The next is anger. As the masking effects of denial and isolation begin to wear, reality and its pain reemerge. The individual feels angry, and this anger may be directed at objects, complete strangers, friends or family, or even themselves. The next is bargaining. The normal reaction to feelings of helplessness and vulnerability is often a need to regain control through a series of if-only statements, such as, if only we had sought medical attention sooner, or if only we had tried to live a healthier lifestyle. The fourth stage is depression. This is the stage characterized by sadness, regret, fear, and uncertainties. It might be a quiet preparation to separate and to build farewell to the loved one or the life they once knew. And the last stage is acceptance. Not everyone reaches this stage. Those who do begin to accept the reality of their loss. And this acceptance does not mean that they're okay with the loss, but rather that they acknowledge it and are learning to live with it. So here are some common myths about grief and the realities behind them. The first myth is that grief is often portrayed as a linear process that individuals move through in stages, concluding with the acceptance and closure. The reality is that grief is far from linear. It's a dynamic, cyclical process that varies greatly from person to person. Individuals may revisit different emotions and stages at various times with no predictable sequence. Acceptance can come and go, and there's often no finality of closure in the way it's commonly understood. The second myth is time heals all wounds, and there's a widespread belief that simply given enough time, all feelings of loss and sadness will eventually dissipate. The reality is that time alone does not heal grief. Healing requires actively processing the loss, which can include talking about the deceased, seeking support, and finding ways to remember and honor the loved one. While the intensity of grief may lessen over time, the loss can always be part of one's life, influencing it in various ways. Third myth, you should be over it by now. This myth imposes a timeline on grief, suggesting that after a certain period of time, one should be over their loss. The reality is that there's no standard timeline for grieving. Each individual experience with grief is unique, and there's no point at which someone should be expected to have moved on. This myth can make people feel isolated or like they're grieving incorrectly if they continue to feel pain after society's expected mourning period. Okay, next myth. Keeping busy will distract you from your grief. The idea here is that if you fill your time with activities and distractions, you won't have time to dwell on your loss, which will speed up the healing process. Reality is, while staying engaged in life and activities can be a healthy part of coping, Using busyness as a way to avoid facing grief can hinder the healing process. It's important to strike a balance between staying active and allowing time and space to grieve. And the last myth I'll share is that it's necessary to let go and move on. This myth suggests that holding on to the memory of the deceased prevents healing and that moving on implies leaving the loved one behind. The reality is that healing doesn't mean forgetting or letting go of the loved one. It's possible to find ways to carry the memory and legacy of the deceased forward with you. Many people find comfort and meaning in maintaining a connection to their loved one, even as they continue to live and find joy in life. Now, mindfulness strategies offer powerful tools for those navigating the complex terrain of grief. These practices emphasize being present in the moment with kindness and without judgment, which can significantly aid in the grieving process. By fostering acceptance, mindfulness helps individuals face their loss and the myriad of emotions that come with it, promoting healing and self-compassion. So here are some mindfulness strategies tailored for grieving. The first one is mindful breathing. And the practice is where you sit or lie down in a comfortable position, close your eyes and bring your attention to your breath. Notice the sensation of air entering and leaving your body. And when your mind wanders, gently guide your focus back to your breath. And this can help anchor you in the present, reducing overwhelming feelings. The benefit is that this provides immediate relief from acute distress, helping to calm the mind and body. The second one is the body scan meditation. And with this practice, you start with your toes and gradually work your way up your body, paying attention to each part. Observe without judgment of any sensations, tensions, or emotions stored in the body. And this can be done lying down, and it typically takes about 20 minutes. The benefit of this is that it helps identify and release physical tension associated with grief, fostering a deeper connection between the mind and body. Next is the walking meditation. And with this practice, you're walking slowly in a quiet place, indoors or outdoors, and your pace is very slow. Focus on the experience of walking and noticing the movement of your legs and feet, and the sensations of each step. Use this time to connect with nature or your surroundings if outside. The benefit is that it offers a gentle way to exercise while staying present, helping to alleviate feelings of stagnation that are often associated with grief. Mindful journaling. In this practice, you write about your feelings, thoughts, and experiences without censoring or judging yourself. Let it be a stream of consciousness or focus on a specific aspect of your grief. The act of writing helps in acknowledging and processing emotions. The benefit is that it facilitates emotional relief and provides clarity on the complex feelings surrounding loss. Guided imagery. The practice is using guided imagery or visualization techniques to conjure up peaceful images of places that evoke a sense of calm and safety. And this can be facilitated by recordings, scripts, or personal imagination. The benefit is that this serves as an escape to a safe space for temporary relief from pain, offering a mental rest and rejuvenation. And the last one I'll share is mindful listening to music. And in this practice, you're listening to music with your full attention, noticing the different instruments, melodies, and rhythms. Let the music express what you might not be able to put into words. And the benefit of this is that music may evoke and help process emotions, offering solace and a sense of connection. Now, incorporating these mindfulness strategies into daily life can provide grieving individuals with practice tools to cope with your loss. It's important to approach these practices with patience and kindness towards oneself, recognizing that grief is a process and that healing takes time.
Thanks for listening and supporting this podcast. And make sure you're clicking the like and subscribe button. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Stay safe, be well, and don't forget to be the best version of you.